Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and this is the second part of the endocrinology short answer questions. If you like these questions, you can find a written version at members.zerotofinals.com on the Zero to Finals members site, which costs £9.60 a month and can be cancelled at any time. You'll also find multiple choice questions, extended matching questions, digital flashcards, and other resources to help you learn medicine and track your learning so you're ready for your medical exams. But for now, let's get straight into these endocrinology questions. Question 55. What condition gives a thickened, darkened, and velvety appearance of the skin, often at the neck, axilla, and groin, and is associated with insulin resistance? Acanthosis nigricans. Question 56. What HbA1c range indicates pre-diabetes? (42 to 47 millimoles per mole). Question 57. What HbA1c range indicates type 2 diabetes? 48 millimoles per mole or above. Question 58. What is the HbA1c target for new type 2 diabetics? 48 millimoles per mole. Question 59. What is the HbA1c target for type 2 diabetics that require more than one anti-diabetic drug? 53 millimoles per mole. Question 60. What is the first line medication for treating type 2 diabetes? Metformin. Question 61. What protein is inhibited by empagliflozin, canagliflozin, and dapagliflozin? The sodium glucose cotransporter 2 protein, or SGLT2 protein. What action does this protein normally have? It reabsorbs glucose from the urine back into the blood. What's the consequence of inhibiting this action? More glucose is excreted in the urine. What is dapagliflozin licensed to treat? Type 2 diabetes, chronic kidney disease, and heart failure. Question 62. What is the mechanism of action of gliclazide? It's a sulfonylurea which stimulates insulin release from the pancreas. Question 63. What's the mechanism of action of sitagliptin and allogliptin? They are dipeptidyl peptidase 4 or DPP4 inhibitors. Question 64. What is the mechanism of action of liraglutide and semaglutide? They are glucagon-like peptide 1 or GLP-1 mimetics. Question 65. At what threshold are ACE inhibitors started to treat chronic kidney disease in type 2 diabetics? An albumin to creatinine ratio, or ACR, above 3 mg per millimole. Question 66. What is the primary medical treatment for hyperosmolar hyperglycemic state, or HHS? Intravenous fluids. Question 67. What hormone abnormality causes acromegaly? Excessive growth hormone. Question 68. What is the most common cause of acromegaly? A pituitary adenoma. Question 69. What visual field defect may be seen in acromegaly when there is a large enough tumor? Bitemporal hemianopia. Question 70. What term describes the large, protruding jaw that may be seen in acromegaly? Prognathism. Question 71. What dynamic function test is used to test for acromegaly? The growth hormone suppression test. Question 72. What is the mechanism of action of octreotide used to treat acromegaly? It is a somatostatin analog that blocks growth hormone release. Question 73. What causes primary hyperparathyroidism? Uncontrolled production of parathyroid hormone by a parathyroid tumor. Question 74. What are the causes of secondary hyperparathyroidism? Insufficient vitamin D or chronic kidney disease. Question 75. What causes tertiary hyperparathyroidism? Parathyroid gland hyperplasia due to long-term secondary hyperparathyroidism, which has now been treated. Question 76. What is the main serum electrolyte abnormality in syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone, or SIADH? A low serum sodium, or hyponatremia. Question 77. What are the top causes of syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone, or SIADH? Postoperative, SSRI antidepressants, and small cell lung cancer. Question 78. What class of medication may be used to treat severe hyponatremia caused by syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone, or SIADH? Vasopressin receptor antagonists, for example, tolvaptan. Question 79. What is the major risk of rapidly correcting long-standing severe hyponatremia? Osmotic demyelination syndrome, which is also known as central pontine myelinolysis. Question 80. What are the two types of diabetes insipidus and their underlying pathology? Cranial diabetes insipidus, which involves a lack of antidiuretic hormone production by the posterior pituitary gland, and nephrogenic diabetes insipidus, which involves a lack of response to antidiuretic hormone by the collecting ducts in the kidneys. Question 81. What are the two key symptoms of diabetes insipidus? Polyuria, which is excessive urine production, and polydipsia, which is excessive thirst. Question 82. What dynamic function test is used to test for diabetes insipidus? the water deprivation test, which is also known as the desmopressin stimulation test. Question 83. What would you expect to happen to the urine osmolality after a period of water deprivation in a healthy individual? There would be a high urine osmolality. What about in a patient with diabetes insipidus? There would be a low urine osmolality. Question 84. What medication can be used to treat diabetes insipidus caused by a hormone deficiency? Desmopressin. Question 85. Where is adrenaline normally produced? By the chromaffin cells in the medulla of the adrenal glands. Question 86. What genetic disorders are associated with the development of pheochromocytomas? Multiple endocrine neoplasia type 2, or MEN2, neurofibromatosis type 1, and von Hippel-Lindau disease. Question 87. What are the two initial investigation options when suspecting a pheochromocytoma? Plasma-free metanephrines on a blood test and 24-hour urine catecholamines. Question 88. What medical treatments are available for controlling the symptoms of a pheochromocytoma before surgery? Alpha blockers, for example, phenoxybenzamine or doxazosin, and beta blockers only when they've already been established on alpha blockers. So thanks for listening to this episode of Questions on Endocrinology. That completes the Endocrinology Short Answer Questions series. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. If you like these questions, I really recommend heading over to members.zerotofinals.com to check out the members site, which is a complete solution for testing yourself on medicine and surgery using various types of questions and flashcards, as well as other resources such as a tracking tool to keep track of your revision and a course on how to learn medicine. So signing up for the members site really gives you everything you need to prepare for medical and surgical exams and perfectly supplements the Zero to Finals website and books. And I hope you join us for the next episode where we'll move on to questions on gastroenterology.